Following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
This is a Milk and Sea Audio production, where entertainment is always free.
Time for the Broken Sea Audio Production OTR Swag Cast.
Welcome back to the Swag Cast. This is Bill Holwick. Here's episode 4 of the Swag Cast, Haunt of Horror, Halloween 2011.
Good people, let us remember him who has passed, not for what he was, not for what he did, but because he was, as all of us are, a temple of God. Let us remember that this which is about to return to common clay was molded from common clay. Today we gather here to pay our last tribute this now still flesh, lying here before us clothed in the coldness of death. Let us always remember. Let us always remember.
The man at the cabin. Can you see him? He moved his hands. What are you saying? He moved his hand up toward his
head. Madam, please.
Oh, no. No, surely you're mistaken. I distinctly saw his hand move. He couldn't have. Carl. Carl. Oh, my darling.
Happened to me.
Just lie still, Carl Fisher. This craft is most fragile.
Where am I?
Where would you be after death?
Death? You say death?
Yes.
Am I dead?
They have your body in a church, Carl. Imagine you in a church.
No. No, you're mistaken. This is no church. I'm right here.
Apparently you are, yes. But we are most careful when we bring you here. We take every precaution to relieve the shock.
Shock?
Of finding yourself in the midst of fire and brimstone.
Hot. It's so hot.
You get used to it.
Where am I?
Your soul is here with me. Your body is back on Earth. At present, resting within a satin-lined coffin.
Coffin?
Yes. They're soon going to place you within a tomb.
Oh, I don't believe you.
Don't you? Personally, makes no difference to me whether you do or not. But for your own satisfaction, suppose you feel for yourself.
What?
Yes. Reach up with your right hand. Reach up. Feel the casket lining by your head. Go right ahead. There. You see?
Yes. But I'm lying in the bottom of a boat.
Only your soul is.
This is some trick. The boat is satin lined.
I'll admit, Carl Fisher, I am generally most concerned about my own comfort. But as far as lining one of my boats with satin, no. I fear that would be too much, even for Satan.
Satan?
Yes. Here, let me prove to you the boat is not cloth-lined. There. You see?
You devil.
That's irony.
You are a devil.
Yes, I am. But not just a devil. The devil.
You mean I'm really dead?
One never dies, Carl. The common clay perishes, yes. But only the common clay.
Let me out of here.
I'm sorry. You see, you can't move until I permit you to.
But I moved my hand a moment ago. Felt the lining near my head.
That's because I wished you to. Nothing is done here unless I order it done.
Then I am dead.
Only your body. It might interest you to know you caused quite a commotion up there a moment ago when you interrupted your funeral oration by suddenly moving in your casket. Yes, quite a commotion. Only two people saw you. One of them was a woman. You frightened her, Carl. But they've taken her away now.
You mean my body actually is being preached over?
Oh, yes. Indeed, yes. You were a prominent man on Earth, Carl. Naturally, yours is a most elegant funeral. So many flowers, half of them could be brought into the church. People standing outside, on the sidewalk even.
Is Laura there?
Your wife? Oh, certainly. Where else would she be?
A church, you say?
Yes. Amazes you, doesn't it? You haven't been in a church for 35 years.
No.
You wouldn't even permit your daughter to be buried from a church, Carl. But she went to heaven. Anyway.
Stop it, stop it.
Do you remember Reverend Brooks, Carl?
Reverend Brooks?
Yes. He married you, remember? Today, he's officiating at your funeral.
No, no.
Would you like to hear what he's saying, Carl? Listen.
If Carl Fisher has brought tragedy into our lives, let us remember that out of tragedy, good can arise. Soon that tragedy will be forgotten. But let us never forget Carl Fisher. Let us remember him always as a Christian.
You hear, Carl? A Christian, he says.
Stop. Stop that voice.
Listen, Carl.
Let us pray for him often and ask Almighty God to grant him pardon. Let us be generous towards him that finally the Supreme Ruler may in turn be generous towards us.
No. No, stop him. Stop him. I don't want to hear anymore.
Did you hear what he said, Carl? He asked your friends, your family, your wife, to forget your evil, to remember only what was good about you. Yes, Carl, but that leaves them nothing to remember.
Oh, let me alone.
No, Carl. They've nothing to remember. Because there was nothing about you that was good.
I didn't have a chance.
Chance? You say you didn't have a chance?
Certainly not.
Well, I don't want to waste my breath by pointing out the chances you did have.
I was forced into everything that happened. Forced, I say.
Were you?
Certainly I was.
Haven't you ever heard of Free will?
Free will? Free will, you say? I haven't had a will of my own in the last 30 years.
Haven't you, Carl?
No. You know I haven't. I knew I was doing wrong. Sure, I knew it. I'd never have made my millions by being any other way.
Your millions. Did you enjoy them, Carl?
I was just beginning to when...
When I took charge of you. Is that it?
Yes.
Your millions aren't worth much here.
Oh, where am I?
Certainly you haven't lost your imagination. Where would you be? With fire on all sides and the smell of brimstone. And with me as your pilot on the river Styx.
Styx?
You remember. It's our largest river.
Where are you taking me?
I have a special assignment for you, Mr. Fisher. We have a certain reserved space for members like you down here.
Inferno. Tell me. Am I in Hades?
Does that surprise you?
No. No, I can't be. I didn't want to die. I wanted to do what was right, but I couldn't.
You didn't try.
I was going to try.
You've done nothing but evil for 30 years. You couldn't change now.
I could, I tell you, I could.
No, Carl.
I'll make a bargain with you, Satan.
Bargain? No one makes bargains with Satan.
Give me a chance. Let me go back. Let me live my life over. I'll change. I swear I will.
You'd never change.
I will, I will. Let me go back. Let me show you. Let me prove I can do what's right.
All right, Carl. I'll bargain with you. It would at least relieve the dull monotony.
You give me a chance?
Yes, for 24 hours.
24 hours? Only 24 hours?
Yes. Do nothing but good for 24 hours, and I'll not return to claim you. But if you fail...
I won't fail. I won't, I won't.
It's up to you, Carl. It's entirely up to you. But remember, only 24 hours. Only 24 hours, Carl.
You really shouldn't have come tonight, Laura. You should rest.
I know. But I couldn't rest. Poor Carl. He needed someone so badly those last few days. And I was away. Never dreaming what was happening.
You mustn't blame yourself, Laura.
Oh, I can't help it. I feel I deserted my husband. Just when a man needs his wife most. There'll come a time, Dr. West, when I'll be afraid to come out here to the mausoleum. I wanted to come tonight to tell him goodbye.
Goodbye?
Yes. I loved my husband, David. Despite everything he did, he was the only one I ever cared for.
Here, my dear, I have the key. I say, Laura, it's not locked.
But I saw you lock it after the services this afternoon.
I did lock it. I'd swear I did.
Open the door.
Yes.
Do you have a light?
Yes. Pocket flash. There.
Oh, David.
Empty. The casket's empty.
David, for heaven's sakes, what's happened here?
I don't know, but Carl always said he'd come back.
What?
Yes. He told me once he had no fear of death, because he knew he could always make a deal with Satan.
Carl told you that?
Yes. I laughed at him at the time, but now I wonder. I'd better go now, Laura. Sure you're feeling all right?
Yes, I know I won't sleep tonight.
You can relax. I can send you out a nurse if you like.
Oh, no. No, I'd rather be alone.
Well, if you need me, please don't hesitate to call.
Thank you, David.
Good night, my dear.
Good night, David. Thank you so much for being such a dear.
I'll call you in the morning.
Good night.
That's strange. Yes. I'm not hearing things. That's an electric razor running. But it can't be. There's no one in the apartment but myself. Carl. 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 Carl!
Yes, my dear, did you call me?
Carl.
Yes, Laura, what is it?
Carl. Are you really there?
What do you mean, am I really here? Of course I'm here. Heavens, I was right in the middle of my shaving.
Oh, no.
Laura, what's the matter with you? Why'd you call me?
No, Carl, please don't come any closer, please.
The world's gotten into you all of a sudden.
Darling, is it really you?
Really me? Now, what are you talking about?
Carl, don't you know?
Don't I know what?
We buried you this afternoon. Carl, don't look at me like that.
Buried me?
Yes. Oh, darling, what's happened? Tell me what's happened.
I don't know. Something's wrong.
Carl.
My head. It's whirling. Dizzy. I don't remember what happened.
Oh, darling, you're alive. Warm. Breathing.
Yes, but I seem to have been away. It was so hot. There was a boat on a river. And a satin-lined casket and... Oh, Laura.
Darling, darling, you did come back. Dr. West said you would...
Dr. West? Laura, I have been dead, haven't I?
Yes, Carl.
I remember now. I was sitting at my desk, sitting alone at night in my office, and then something happened.
You were shot in the back of the neck.
Everything stopped. The next thing I knew, I was riding in the bottom of a boat lined with silk. No. That wasn't the boat that was lined. It was the casket. He told me to move my hand and I'd feel it.
Who, Carl? Who told you?
It was the devil.
Carl.
Yeah. I died. Went to Hades. But I bargained with Satan. I bargained with him. He took me up, gave me 24 hours. 24 hours.
Darling. Darling, I don't understand.
24 hours to prove I could do good here on Earth.
Oh, is it true? Can it be real?
Yes, it is true. It's real.
I can't believe it. Things like this just don't happen.
This happened.
But Carl, how?
I made a bargain, I tell you. A bargain with Satan. I have a rendezvous to keep with him in 24 hours.
I'm so confused, Carl. If only... Who could that be?
I'll go see.
Oh, no. If it's anyone we know, they won't understand. You go back into the bedroom, dear. I'll see who it is.
But the world's got to know sometime.
Oh, people will know soon enough. Please, dear. I'm too upset for a scene to try to explain to anyone tonight.
All right, my dear, if you wish.
Thank you, darling. Just a moment. David.
I had to come back, Laura. I couldn't stay away.
David, please.
Forgive me, dearest, but I've waited so long.
David, please go.
No, not until I've talked to you.
Some other time.
I can't wait any longer, Laura. It's not fair for you to ask me to.
not fair.
You know I love you, Laura. You've known it for months, years.
David.
You have known, haven't you?
Yes, but...
I've waited so long to have the right to tell you about my love. Now, I know it's not right to come to you on the night of your husband's funeral and say these things, but I must know, Laura. I must know.
I have nothing to say to you, David, nothing.
I know you were always madly in love with that criminal of a husband of yours, but that's over now. You'll have to forget him. Oh, remember, darling, you're a young woman yet. Your life is still ahead of you. You can't go on carrying a torch for someone who cared more about making $1 million than making you happy.
Please, David, don't say that.
I have a right to say it. Now, I've kept it in check all of these years, waiting and hoping. And now Carl is dead. You hear me? Dead. Dead. You belong to me now.
No, David. Not now or ever.
Yes. Yes, I say. You're mine. If anyone has a right to you, I have. After everything I've done to get you.
Will you go now, David?
Oh, Laura, Laura, I need you. Oh, Laura, please, sir, you'll marry me.
No, David. I'll never marry you.
But I know you care for me. I could make you learn to love me.
No, never. I've had nothing for you, David, but friendship. I'll never have more.
I know that's not true.
Don't say that.
It's not. You do care for me. I could tell by the way you kissed me. That's when I first began building my hopes.
Kissed you? When did I kiss you?
You haven't forgotten. The party in my penthouse. None more than 3 months ago.
Your birthday party?
Yes.
All the girls kissed you that night. If you'll remember, we even made a sort of game out of it, lined up like a bunch of high school girls to compliment our host.
Yes, but you meant more than just a compliment that night.
You imagined it.
Oh, no.
I kissed you just like the others, in full sight of my husband. And I might add, to his complete amusement.
Carl wasn't in the room. You waited until he'd left before you got into line.
Oh, nonsense, David.
No. I knew that night you cared for me. That's when I began planning to make you mine.
David, will you please go?
Not until you've told me you'll marry me.
I've told you I won't.
There's someone else.
Only my husband.
Someone else. Someone who's alive.
Please go, David.
What's that?
I want you to go.
What was that? In that other room?
Nothing.
What are you...
Nothing at all.
What are you doing?
I don't want you to ever come back here, David.
What are you doing?
I'm locking this door. I'm in no mood to have you go ransacking my place.
There's someone in that room.
David.
So, you couldn't wait until your husband was safely buried. Couldn't wait.
David.
Well, he won't have you. You hear me? He won't have you.
David. Please go now.
Very well. But I'm telling you this, Laura. He won't have you. Whoever he is, he'll never have you. I promise you that.
Carl? You hurt?
Yes.
Well?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Carl. She's been having an affair behind your back, hasn't she? She deserves to be killed, doesn't she? Well, go ahead and kill her.
I don't have to tell you, Carl. I've never cared for him.
Go ahead, Carl. Kill her. She's lying, don't you think?
No one but you, darling. Ever.
I can still tempt you, Carl. That's my job. That's how I keep my fires burning.
I know you believe me, Carl.
No, don't believe her. She's never lied to you before, but there's always a first time.
Darling, please don't stand there looking at me. Say something.
She wants you to say something. Well, go ahead. Say something.
Darling.
It's all right, dearest. I believe you. I wonder what people will say when I walk out into the world again.
Carl, don't you think it would be best for us to go away quietly? Some place where we'd never be recognized?
No, Laura. I have a bargain to fulfill. Only until 3 this afternoon.
You'll spend that time with me, then?
I'm sorry, I can't. There's more to be done than probably either of us imagine.
Where are you going?
To the office first.
I'll go with you.
No, dear. I'll come back to you before I leave you again. To keep my rendezvous with Satan. Good morning, Miss Walling.
Good morning, Mr. Fisher. You're early this morning, Mr. Fisher. Mr. Fisher.
Confounded girl. How she'll make a scene. I'll spend all morning explaining. And nothing doing. I'll lock myself in the office. West.
Come in, Carl. I've been waiting for you.
Sitting in my chair at my desk.
Yes. This is your gun, I believe.
What's the meaning of this?
I'm prepared to make a bargain with you.
Bargain?
Yes.
What sort of a bargain?
You died without leaving a will. I have one here dated 3 months before your death. Sign it, the business becomes mine. And I'll permit you to take away half of your $7 million and Laura.
You permit me?
Yes. You couldn't operate your business now. People wouldn't want to do business with a dead man.
Do I look dead to you?
Don't be facetious. I'm serious. I know all about what happened to you. When I came back to see Laura last night, I heard you talking before I pushed the buzzer. I don't understand it all, but I'm prepared to give Laura up for your business and half your cash.
You killed me.
What?
You killed me.
Fisher, keep back.
I see it clearly now. I see now that Laura wasn't lying to me last night. She's never cared for you.
I warn you. Keep back, Fisher.
I remember what you said to her. You said, if anyone has a right to you, Laura, I have. After everything I've done to get you.
This gun is loaded, Carl.
Yes, I see it all clearly now.
Stay back. Stay away from me.
The night she kissed you at the party. Remember what you said about that last night? That was the night you began planning to make her yours.
If you come any nearer, I'll shoot.
I'm not going to harm you, Dr. West.
You'd like to get your hands on this gun. You'd like to kill me, wouldn't you?
Kill you? No, I can't kill you. I've made a bargain not to.
Then keep back.
I could kill you, though. I've been proclaimed legally dead, you know. You can't hang a dead man.
Keep back. One step farther and I'll shoot.
I told you I don't intend to harm
you. Stop where you are.
I just want you to take a good look at me, Doctor.
Stop. Not one step farther. Not one step farther.
Laura.
Oh, darling, are you hurt?
It's nothing.
He shot you, Carl.
Laura. That gun in your hand.
I followed you here. I don't know why I brought the gun.
Laura. You killed him.
Oh, darling.
Give it to me.
No.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
Carl, you must get to a doctor.
No. Look at the clock. No time for a doctor.
You hurt badly.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Give me that gun.
Carl.
Give it to me. There. Now they... They'll think we shot each other.
Carl! 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 Oh, my darling. My darling!
You have won your bargain, Carl Fisher. There's no place here for you now.
Dark and darkness.
You have heard Rendezvous with Satan, tonight's original tale of dark fantasy by Scott Bishop, originating in the studios of WKY. Ben Morris was Carl Fisher, Blois Wright played Dr. David West, Eleanor Naylor Corrin was Laura Fisher, Fred Wayne took the part of Satan, Muir Height was heard as Reverend Brooks, and Georgiana Cook Height played the secretary.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host to welcome you through the squeaking door for another half hour of lovely chills and shudders. Oh, before we begin tonight, I'd like to give you a word of advice. If you should ever walk through a cemetery at midnight and come face to face with a transparent personality floating above a tombstone, don't be frightened. After all, you can see right through him.
Good gracious, why do we have to talk about cemeteries?
Because, Mary, our story tonight is about a vampire. Where else would you expect to find one if not in a cemetery? In the Vampire State Building? Mm-hmm.
Well, suppose you go wait in that closet there and talk to the skeleton while I have a word with our Lipton listeners about one secret of success. You know, folks, when a Hollywood actress climbs up to stardom, it's usually because there's something different about her personality. And that's true of other success stories. Lipton Tea, for example, is the largest selling brand of tea in the world because it's different from other teas. Lipton's has that wonderful hearty flavor the tea experts call brisk, which means it's bright and zestful in taste, never wishy-washy or flat. Now, don't take my word for it. Compare Lipton's to other teas yourself. That's the real way to discover Lipton's rich, full flavor, Lipton's extra flavor that brings you all the goodness of a superb tea. It's full-bodied and satisfying, with a smooth, mellow tang that brings you real enjoyment. So pour yourself a cup of Lipton tea, folks, and then see for yourself what a difference that brisk flavor makes.
That's fine, Mary, but quietly, my dear.
Why the whisper, Mr.?
Don't make too much noise or you'll wake the dead. We don't want to do that because tonight's story is called The Undead. It's an original radio play by Milton Lewis. Yes, and our star tonight is Anne Seymour, who plays the role of Diana.
I was alone here in the penthouse sleeping. The doors leading to the terrace were open. Suddenly, I was awakened by a queer, whirring noise that sounded like the flapping of wings. I opened my eyes. Moonlight filled the room. It was one of those clear, cloudless nights. But the winds moaned and howled like weeping women. Somewhere, a dog howled. I sat up, peered into the green light of the moon. Could see nothing at first. I lay down again. My eyes were half closed. And I heard it again. The sound of wings beating on the air. I told myself it was nothing. Until out of the queer green shadows that surrounded me like a mist, I saw a pair of blood-red eyes close to my face. No, they weren't human eyes. They were rimmed with green. And they glittered like glass in the dark. I looked closer. Too frightened to move. Too terrified to cry out. The thing that seemed to be flying round my head looked like a bat. That it wasn't a bat. Suddenly, it floated down. I felt soft fur on my neck. And my throat was pierced with a sharp, terrible pain. I started screaming, "Let me go! Let me go! Richard! Where are you, Richard? Richard!"
Go on, Diana.
When I felt their arms around me, I knew I was safe, Richard. But it was the most horrible dream I ever had.
Yes, I know, darling. You were hysterical.
What do you think it meant?
Well, nothing. Nothing, of course, dear. Everyone has nightmares like that sometime or other.
But it was so vivid. I could almost swear it happened just as I told it to you.
Oh, Diana, do you really believe you've encountered a vampire?
I know it sounds ridiculous, darling.
Listen, baby, you're living in New York City on top of an 18-story building. This is 1945, not the Middle Ages. But the whole notion is just rubbish.
I tried to tell myself it was nonsense, too. But somehow... Oh, Richard, I want to get out of this place.
But why?
I don't like this apartment. There's something evil, sinister here. I've always felt it. And listen. Listen to that wind. The wind howl around here all the time.
Well, naturally, it's a penthouse, and it catches the winds from the river.
You hear that? Something flapping on the terrace.
That's just the awning.
There are always queer noises around here, all the time, and I can't bear it being alone here at night. Richard, please, please don't let me stay here alone tonight.
I can't stay with you, darling. I've got to go to the theater.
I don't want you to go there, please. Let your understudy take the part tonight. Take me away from here, far away where it's warm and there's sunlight.
Diana, you don't know what you're saying, dear. I can't give up my part in the show.
Of course. Of course. Darling, forgive me, please. I'm sorry I ever mentioned it. You do forgive me, don't you, Richard? Say you do.
Why, of course. You're just upset over the silly dreams.
I know, I know. I won't mention it again.
You're okay, baby. Well, it's 7:50. I better get going. Want to come with me?
Yes. No. Well, I'm going to stay here.
But if this place frightens you...
That's just why I'm going to stay. And alone. I'm going to beat this thing. Somehow.
That's better, darling. Much better.
Here's your coat. Right. And you better take your scarf. It feels chilly. Richard.
Hmm?
I said I won't mention it again, but there's one thing more I have to tell you. The face of that thing in my dream. It was your face.
Diana, in the name of heaven...
I won't talk of it anymore. I promise you, darling. I didn't mean to upset you just before you went to the theater. Just kiss me, dear. I'll be all right. I'll be all right.
Diana.
Good night, dear. I'll be waiting when you get back. It was just midnight. Two nights later. I was waiting for Richard to come home from the theater. I was going through his desk looking for a postage stamp, and I found something that turned my blood to ice. It was a newspaper clipping, dated 10 years ago. The picture of a man, and under it the caption, "Prominent real estate operator Richard Barker, found dead of a sudden stroke." I looked at the picture again. There could be no doubt of it. It was Richard. I read further. The deceased will be buried at Woodlawn, Greenlawn Cemetery after services in the Westland Funeral Chapel.
Good evening, Diana.
Richard.
Why, what's the matter? You seem startled.
I didn't hear you come in.
Have you been brooding again?
No, Richard. Of course not.
Well, how do you feel tonight?
Not very well.
Weak?
Weak. Sleepy. Ill.
Well, no wonder. You've hardly been eating a thing. And I know that you never catch a wink of sleep.
I told you I can't sleep in the daytime as you do. As you do.
Why are you staring at me like that?
Why? Why do you sleep in the daytime?
I've been doing it for years.
Years?
What's so terrible about that? Most theatrical people do. We live and work at night.
Yes. Yes, I know.
Really, Diana, what is the matter with you?
Nothing. You think I'm losing my mind?
Well, I don't know what to think.
Why are you pretending?
Pretending what?
That you're something other than what you are. Because I know what you are, Richard.
Really?
I found out. This clipping I found in your desk, it tells how you died.
That clipping? Oh, that.
Why are you laughing?
Well, you see, it's a joke. It's a gag. One of my pictures was sent to the papers, publicity for a new play, you know. And a drunken typester put it in the obituary column. It's quite an amusing story.
I don't believe you. You're lying.
Listen. You can't go on like
no,
this.
No, don't touch me.
You're not well, darling.
Take hands away from me.
But I just want to kiss
no,
you.
No, don't touch me.
Diana, where are you going?
Out of here.
Diana, come back.
I'll come back when I've proved something to myself. Is there anyone there?
What do you want, ma'am?
I'm sorry to wake you up. Are you the caretaker here at Greenlawn?
Many years, ma'am.
I want to see the grave of Richard Barker.
Who are you?
Diana Barker. His wife.
But it's 1 in the morning, Mrs. Barker.
I know what time it is. I want to see the grave.
No one comes at a time like this.
Please, will you tell me? Perhaps this will help.
$10.
For disturbing you.
All right. You take the path in back of my house. Turn to the right. Have you flashed
it? I brought one from the car.
It's only a short way, but it isn't a grave, ma'am. It's sort of a tomb.
Thank you. I'll find it.
You want me to come with you?
No, I've troubled you enough. Good night.
Good night.
Somewhere, an owl was howling, as though warning me not to go on with this insane adventure. But I knew I had to continue. I had to be certain. I followed his directions along the path of the cemetery. The moon poked yellow fingers through scudding clouds, as though showing me the way. I was frightened, terrified. There's nothing to fear from the dead. I kept telling myself that to keep up my courage. The dead. Perhaps they were right. There was nothing to fear from them. But the undead. There was. A tomb. The inscription was clear. Here lies Richard Barker. Born May 7th, 1890. Died September 4th, 1935. There was a lock on the door. It was old and rusty. I'd come this far. I made up my mind. I picked up a stone. Smashed the lock. I opened the door. Blackness. Inky blackness, such as one imagines one would see at the end of the world. Turned on the flashlight I took from the car. Coffin was lying in the center of the tomb, on an altar. I felt my heart beating wildly, like a throbbing drum inside me. With a trembling hand, I opened the coffin. I looked down on a ghastly white satin lining. That was all there was in the coffin. There was nothing else. It was empty. I looked up. There was a face staring at me in the shadows of the tomb. It was Richard.
Diana, I knew you'd come here.
Well, friends, that just goes to show that an empty coffin makes the most noise. You know, this is the kind of nice domestic story I like. The intimate family chronicle of a vampire.
My goodness, is that what you call intimate family life?
Why, of course, Mary. It looks like our lovebirds will even share the same coffin.
I'm afraid you're drawing a very strange picture of family life, Mr. Host.
Right, Mary. And now let's go back to our horrors. Let me see. What dire predicament are we in tonight? Oh, yes. Diana has just discovered that her husband was wandering around his tomb. What would you do in a situation like that? Here's what Diana did. Listen.
I ran blindly, stumbling, tearing my clothes. Somehow I managed to reach the car, start the motor. In the car, I knew it wasn't all some dream. People didn't come back from the dead. Did they? Could they? I drove to the city. I wanted to see the lights, people, hear music. I wanted to be sure this was the world I'd always known. I tried to reason. I tried to understand what had happened to me. Because I knew something was happening to me. Something that I dreaded. I was becoming like them. Like Richard. I felt strange cravings. Desires that I didn't. There, think of.
Excuse me, Mrs. Barker.
Oh.
May I sit with you?
I don't believe I know you.
But perhaps not. Does it make any difference?
No. No, it doesn't. Please, sit down.
Thank you.
I'm glad you came over. I'm glad to be able to talk to anyone tonight.
I've been watching you for the last 10 minutes.
Have you?
You look very strange tonight.
How do you know me?
We all know each other.
We? Yes.
You realize you'll be dead soon.
Dead?
At least, what they call dead.
You know what's happened?
Oh, yes, of course. I've seen it happening for weeks. Your face became paler and paler. It will not be long now. You will become one of us.
I don't want to.
It's not in your hands.
It isn't true. It can't be true.
It's quite true. Many of us have gone on for hundreds of years. Those who sustain us become like us.
And I...
There is no escape.
No, I don't believe it.
Don't you feel it? Blood. That strange desire.
Yes.
There. You see?
I don't want to.
I once tried to fight it, too. It's no use.
I'm going away. Far away. Where he can't reach me. I'm going now where no one can reach me.
Waiter. Waiter. Will you help me here? There's been an accident.
Everything's going to be all right, Diana. Just lie here and rest quietly. You're in your own home.
I opened my eyes and saw Claudia, my older sister. Never was so glad to see anyone in all my life. Claudia had always helped me, always advised me. She'd know what to do.
You want something to eat?
No, I'm not hungry.
But the doctor said you'd have to eat.
How did I get here?
You collapsed in a cocktail lounge. They brought you home.
When?
Last night.
It's dark out.
You've been sleeping almost 24 hours.
Where's Richard?
At the theater. Poor boy, he was so worried about you.
Was he?
He sent for me. I've been with you since last night. Diana, what happened?
It's terribly difficult to explain. I sometimes think I'm losing my mind. I'd be sure that's what it is if I hadn't found out differently.
Tell me about it.
I found out Richard is dead. He's been dead for 10 years.
What are you talking about?
It's true, Claudia. I went to Greenlawn. I saw his tomb. I opened it and the coffin was empty.
Diana.
I know what you're thinking, but I'm not insane. He never sleeps at night. Now I feel this strange craving. Claudia, don't steal me.
You know what you're saying.
Yes, I know it sounds wild, fantastic, but I haven't told this to anyone, but it's true. There are things in this world you only think of primitive superstitions, but Claudia, you must believe me.
Yes, of course, I believe you, dear.
We must destroy Richard. I read about those things. We must destroy him by driving a wooden stake through his heart. That's the only way I can escape from him. That's the only way I can become a human being again.
Diana.
You'll help me, Claudia.
Of course, dear. Haven't I always helped you?
Where are you going?
Just to fix you something to eat.
No. No, you're going to leave me. Leave me here alone with him. I won't let you do that, Claudia.
That gun. Where did you get that gun?
We've always had one here. Ever since I first told Richard I was afraid of this place. You're not going to leave me alone now, Claudia. I'm not going to let you.
Of course not.
Get away from that door.
That's what you
Claudia,
want.
Claudia, come back. No. I got insane.
Gone. Insane. She was so sure I was insane, she didn't even give me a chance to explain.
I was alone in the house. I felt terribly weak. I wanted to sleep. I wanted to sleep forever and ever. But I knew if I lay down and closed my eyes, I might never open them again. Never open them and see the world as you or I used to. I'd be something else. I looked at the clock. Almost midnight. Richard would be coming back in a minute. I ran to the door, locked it from the inside with a safety bolt. What to do? What to do? Please, I ran to the telephone. Hello, operator. Get me the police and hurry, please.
One moment, please.
Hurry, will you? This is a matter of life and death. Hello, are you ringing them?
Police department. Sergeant Kilroy talking.
Hello, police. You've got to help me.
Yes, what is it, please?
My husband, he's going to do something to me tonight. He's going to make me what he is.
What's that, lady?
He's been dead for 10 years. I saw his empty coffin. That's proof, isn't it? That's evidence. You always want evidence, and there it is. Now, do you understand?
Well, I'm not sure I do, lady. What's your name?
Diana Barker.
Well, all right. Now, calm down. Tell me where you're
in. Oh, you think I'm insane, too, don't you?
I didn't say that.
You think I'm crazy, just as Claudia does.
If you'll just give me the address, lady.
Oh, what's the use?
Please, lady.
No one believes it. I know I'm not insane. I know it, and yet... What's that? His key in the lock. He can't open it. It's bolted from the inside. He's trying to get in. But he can't. Not with that bolt. I won't open it. I won't.
I'll just pretend I don't hear it. I'll cover my ears with my hands and I won't hear it. He can't get in here.
If I can keep him out until daylight, I'll be safe. Safe. Suddenly, the doorbell stopped. I knew he hadn't gone away. I could feel him near me. But he couldn't get in.
No, he couldn't get into the penthouse.
There was no way to get in unless he came through the terrace. And there was no way to get on the terrace unless he could fly.
Fly.
The wind was screaming. When I turned to look, the French doors leading to the terrace. It was impossible. He couldn't. And yet, the doors burst open. The wind blew through the house like a cyclone. The airframe and the double doors. Sir Richard!
Why didn't you let me in?
How did you get out on the terrace?
Never mind. What are you doing with that gun?
Don't come near me, Richard.
Diana?
Go away. Go away and leave me alone.
Give me that gun.
No.
I'm warning you, Diana. You'd better give it to me.
If you take another step toward me, I'll fire.
Diana? You see?
The bullets. They didn't harm you.
No.
But I didn't miss.
No.
It's empty.
You see? It didn't do any good.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to put an end to this once and for all, Diana.
An end?
I've prepared for this. I have a knife, you see.
Richard.
Don't be afraid, Diana. You won't quite die.
No, no, don't.
Come here, Diana.
No, Richard, no.
You're
no.
Making too much trouble while you're alive.
Help me, someone. They're going to me. Stop. I saw the knife over my throat. I beat at his chest with the empty pistol. Then, just before everything became black, I saw three flashes of lightning.
Mrs. Barker.
When I woke up in the hospital, Inspector, I couldn't believe that I was still alive. It seemed like a miracle.
You would have been dead if it wasn't for your sister.
Claudia.
She came back with one of our men. He shot and killed your husband just as he was about to plunge the dagger into you.
But how did he get in?
He came over the adjoining terrace from the penthouse next door, just as your husband did. No, Mrs. Barker. Your husband didn't fly.
But the other things, the picture, the tomb, the empty coffin.
All props for an elaborate scheme your husband worked out to murder you. Richard Bach is not an uncommon name. He found a man with that name who died 10 years ago. He removed the body. He got the whole idea from the dream you told him.
But why?
To establish that you were insane.
Oh.
He planned to murder you and claim he did it in self-defense to protect himself against an insane woman.
But the gun...
Filled with blanks. You wanted to get your money, Mrs. Barker.
But the way I felt, those strange cravings...
You're suffering from anemia. Your doctor told us that. It's not uncommon for anemia sufferers to feel the way you did.
I still can't believe it. I still feel that he isn't quite dead.
I'll relieve that fear right now. His body's in the other room. I think you should see it. Come this way, Mrs. Barker. There. Raise the lid of the coffin, Charlie.
Yes, Inspector.
What's the matter?
He looks so lifelike. His lips are so ready. He looks as though he could move. Get up at any minute.
Nonsense. I assure you he's quite dead, Mrs. Barker. And I can further assure you that the police department has never encountered one authentic vampire in its history.
You're very reassuring, Inspector. I think I'd better leave now. Don't bother to see me to the door. Bye.
All right, Charlie. Cover him up and have him buried.
Okay, Inspector.
What is it, Charlie?
Inspector, maybe I'm nuts, but I could swear that I saw him move.
Oh, nonsense. Close the lid. It's getting dark, Charlie. Sun sure goes down quick these winter days. I'm going home. Good night, Charlie.
Do you think Richard is really dead? That's something for you to sleep on tonight. Oh, and by the way, we have a moral for tonight's story. Yes, it's taken from the diary of Miss Delirium Tremens, who once said, "Never marry a vampire. He may turn out to be 500 years old without a social security number to his name.
How can a girl have any fun going around with a guy like that?
Well, Mr. Host, I don't think that's a serious problem. I'm positive that no girl will ever meet a vampire, much less marry one.
Ah, but you can't be sure, Mary. The safest thing is to drive a wooden stake through your husband's heart. Yes, if he dies, then he must be a vampire.
Oh, such a foolishness. Let's forget all this talk about vampires, because I want to tell the folks about something wonderful that's going to happen next week. Next Tuesday's Christmas, you know. So instead of our usual mystery thriller, Inner Sanctum will bring you a tender and beautiful Christmas play called The Littlest Angel. And our star will be that great and beloved actress, Helen Hayes. So be sure to tune into this station at the regular Inner Sanctum time next week. I promise you, The Littlest Angel, starring Helen Hayes, and brought to you by the makers of Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup, will be the crowning pleasure of your Christmas day.
That sounds great, Mary. You know, Christmas is really wonderful. There's something about it that gets even the most hardened characters. Oh, by the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is The Fearful Passage by H.C. Branson. And don't forget what Mary told you, friends. Next week, we'll bring you Inner Sanctum's special Christmas program, directed by Hyman Brown and starring Helen Hayes, America's first lady of the theater. There'll be no gore, no chill. Not even one little murder, believe it or not. The holiday spirit is getting even us. So be sure to join us next Tuesday. Meanwhile, I'm going to do my Christmas shopping. You know where I can get a nice fur-lined coffin for a cold-blooded friend? Until next Tuesday, then. Good night. Pleasant dream.
In the dream, you are falling, lost in the listening distance, as dark locks in. Nightfall. Good evening. Tonight's play is based on an all-time horror classic by Sheridan Le Fanu, adapted especially for the series by Graham Pomeroy and John Douglas. But right now, the name to remember is Carmilla.
Children love castles and fill their dreams with them. I thought I was the luckiest girl in the world because I lived in one. Dream stretched out its arms to take me with it into the nightmare dark. We could never have afforded a real castle back at home in England, but in the wilds of the Black Forest, my father's income was ample. If one didn't mind the shadows.
So long as you're not frightened by rumors of trolls and coaches drawn by headless horses, Margaret, Germany should be quite pleasant.
And so it was for years, as I remember. We were much alone, my widowed father, myself, the governess and a few servants, in a wasteland of black firs stretching to the horizon. The castle and the long white road unrolling before it from one dark mouth of the forest to another were never more magical one night. That night when the moon should have hidden her face.
Margaret! Margaret! Where are you, ma petite?
Here, madame, bathing in the moonlight.
Indeed. Indeed, ma chère. It is the land of fairy tonight. But you must not stay too long. When the moon shines like this, like silver, all on fire, it is very dangerous.
Madame, your petite enfant is a grown woman now. No more stories to frighten children. Come, sit here by me. It's still bright as daylight.
I had a cousin once. He was a sailor. Like a fool, he fell asleep on deck in such a moon as this. And when he woke, an old woman was clawing at his face.
Oh, madame, you should have been German. You see spirits.
I am German, on my mother's side.
One would never have known it.
You make fun of me. But I tell you, look at the castle windows.
They flash and sparkle in the light.
It is as though hands not seen had lighted up the rooms to receive guests from the other world.
Still trying to frighten my daughter, Madame Peridon. One would think in 20 years you might have given up. She does not know the meaning of fear.
Oh, Papa, Madame has been trying to convince me that the moon is a bad angel.
There are certainly some of them about, I'm afraid. I have some rather sad news for you, Margaret. Would you excuse us, madame?
But of course, monsieur. I will...
Yes, madame?
Did you not hear a sound?
Nothing but the night. Margaret?
No.
Perhaps you are right, ma chère. I grow old.
So much beauty all around, Papa, and such a long face.
I've had a long letter. You remember me speaking of my old friend, General Spielsdorp?
How could I forget? You've promised that he'll bring his daughter Elizabeth to visit us just as soon as she's well enough to travel. Oh, if you knew how I long to meet someone my own age.
I know. I'm afraid now you will have to wait.
But his daughter has recovered.
His daughter is dead.
Papa!
You had better see the General's letter. I'm afraid he is suffering greatly. The letter appears to have been written by a man nearly half-crazed.
My dear Lauriston, during the last days of Elizabeth's illness, I could not write to you. And before then, I had no idea of her danger.
I had no idea of her danger. I have lost her, and now learn all. Too late. The fiend who betrayed our infatuated hospitality has done it all. I swear before Almighty God, I will devote my remaining days to tracking and extinguishing a monster. Sometime in the autumn, or earlier, if I live, my hunt may bring me to your area. I will then tell you all I dare not put on paper now. Farewell. Pray for me, dear friend. Pray for me.
Pray for me. Oh, Papa, the poor man.
What's that? Traveling? So late?
Monsieur, Margaret, a carriage is coming through the woods on the north road.
And whipped on by a madman. Do you hear how fast he drives?
But they will never...
They'll never take the curve by the great oak. Wolfgang, Manfred, come here, quickly, still, still.
Here they are. Oh, Papa, they're there.
Yes.
Lunatic. Oh. Wolfgang, Manfred, see if they're hurt. See if there's anything you can do for them.
I thank you, gentlemen. Thank you all, but there is no serious damage. You there, help my daughter, and be gentle as you go. Mind them.
From the overturned carriage stepped, unharmed, a cold, imperious woman, all in black, commanding the frightened servants as they brought up the most beautiful young girl, about my age, as pale as marble. At first sight appeared to be...
Oh, la belle! La belle pauvre petite! She's dead! The young lady is dead!
For God's sakes, Madame Peridon, control yourself. Bring the young lady here, Manfred. As I thought, her pulse still beats. She has only fainted.
Oh, Lord, we are lost. Lost.
My lady, your daughter is only suffering from shock. a night's rest, one night only, and you may ride on.
Oh, alas, alas, sir, that is exactly what I cannot do. I am on a journey of life and death in which to lose an hour is to lose all. I must go on instantly. My poor child cannot come with me now. God forgive me. I must leave her in the closest village. Have pity on a poor mother. Tell me how far to the nearest inn.
Oh, Papa, please ask her to stay with us. She's so pretty and so alone. I do so want a friend, please.
Madame, would you do us the honor of leaving the young lady here as our guest until your return? She would be a welcome friend to my daughter, Margaret, and my servants would answer her every wish.
Sir, I cannot.
Oh, please.
You see, we insist.
Very well. Remember, it is at your own invitation.
But of course.
I shall return in 1 month. In the meantime, my daughter will be silent as to who we are, where we are from, and where we are going. Thank you again. Goodbye.
My lady?
Yes?
Will you not say farewell to your daughter?
Oh, yes. When she wakens, by all means, tell her I kissed her. Farewell.
Au revoir.
Adieu.
Her servants had righted the carriage with astonishing speed, and the lady in black stepped swiftly into it. A moment, and carriage, horses, passenger and all had been swallowed up into the dark maw of the forest. At the very moment when the last sound of wheels died away among the trees, the young lady opened her eyes.
My mother. Where is she?
My dear young lady, your mother had no choice but to resume her journey immediately. You are to be our guest here for a little while. Our name is Lauriston.
I am called Carmilla.
May I present my daughter, Margaret?
How do you do, Carmilla? You aren't hurt.
Oh, no. I think I was hurt once, but that was ever so long ago. How beautiful you are.
I was saying to your father only yesterday, ma chère, what a piece of luck. Is she not beautiful, this Carmilla? Here scarcely a month, and already she loves you as much as we do. No, I swear she loves you more.
She is very beautiful. Her affection is flattering, but...
Ach, you are too cold, you English. To see her stroke your hand and brush your fine hair by the hour.
I did so want a friend. Now I seem to have one indeed. But she is so... different from anyone I have ever known.
Ah, these noble families. You have only to look at her to know she is of old blood. Though she will not say, they are often very odd. I remember once in France...
She appears to eat or drink almost nothing.
Pure delicatesse, Margaret. A refinement natural to her rank.
When we take even the shortest walk, she is exhausted almost at once. I sometimes think she may be ill.
Because she does not strut about like a peasant. You must read the modern authors. As for living, our servants can do that for us.
A funeral? Here, so far from anywhere?
It is the forest ranger's daughter. You know they found her dead this morning.
Oh, I heard.
Ach, la pauvre. I will go and say a prayer for her. Will you come?
No, madame. I promise to meet Carmilla here.
I will pray for both of us, then. Do not stay too long. It will be dark soon.
What is that hideous music?
Carmilla, those poor people are weeping, and you talk as though we were at a concert.
Don't you hear how discordant it is? How it grates the ears?
On the contrary, I think it is very moving. Our religion...
How can you tell that your religion and mine are the same? Your forms wound me, and I hate funerals. What a fuss. Why, you must die. Everyone must die. And all are happier when they do.
I think she would have been happier to live.
She? Oh, I don't trouble my head about peasants. I don't even know who she is.
She's that poor girl who thought she saw a ghost a week ago. They say she has been dying ever since.
Tell me nothing about ghosts. I shan't sleep tonight if you do.
I hope there is no epidemic coming. The swineherd's young wife died only a week ago, and she imagined that something took her by the throat. The doctor says that so much delirium surely means fever.
The swineherd's wife. Well, her funeral is over, I hope. And her hymn sung. And our ears shan't be tortured for her. Like this.
Carmilla! Are you ill? Your face.
Close. Come close to me. Hold my hand. Tight. Tighter.
Oh, you are crushing my hand.
Oh. I am sorry. It is passing away. See what comes of strangling people with hymns?
Carmilla, I don't understand. Sometimes you are the gentlest friend I could ever imagine. And sometimes...
Dearest, think me not cruel. I obey the irresistible law of my strength and weakness. If your dear heart is wounded, my wild heart bleeds with yours.
You have not wounded me, dear Carmilla.
I fear I have. But you see, I cannot help it. As I draw near to you, you in turn will draw near to others and learn the rapture of that cruelty, which yet is love.
I don't know you. I don't know myself when you look so and talk so. What do you mean by all this?
My darling, seek to know no more of me or mine.
Please.
Trust me. Trust me with all your loving spirit.
That night I had what I imagined was a dream. I cannot call it a nightmare, for I was quite conscious of being asleep. I saw, or thought I saw, the room and its furniture just as I had seen them last, except that it was very dark. And then I saw something moving round the foot of the bed, a figure whose face and form I could not see. Save only two dull points of red, like the embers of a fire as it dies. It approached slowly, ever closer. In the last moment before it reached me, I seemed to hear a voice coming not from my visitor, but from far, far away,
sweetly and tenderly, but with terrible urgency. It whispered,
"Your mother warns you to be aware of the assassin."
But the glowing coals were already inches from my face, and suddenly I felt a stinging pain, as if two large needles darted an inch or two apart, deep into my breast. I tried to scream, but found I could not breathe.
Accompanied by an increasing languor. Hmm?
By exhaustion, Doctor.
She complains more and more of suffocation and her color.
I can see for myself, Herr Lauriston, and this sensation of needles you mentioned, Fräulein. Where exactly?
Here, Doctor. Over the heart.
You're rather young for angina, surely.
Is you.
What is it?
The scars. Two tiny white scars.
How could she suffer so from those? They could be no more than insect bites.
Herr Lauriston, do you know the stories, myths, you would say, tales that they tell here in our Black Forest?
Tales of disease?
Of those who bring it. Fräulein, after those needles, as you call them, is there any other sensation?
It is a little like bathing.
I do not understand.
It's like, you know the pleasant cold thrill you feel when you swim upstream against the current of the river? And in the heart of that cold, warm lips are kissing me.
Yes.
I sometimes wish I never had to wake up.
Fräulein, you must not feel so. You must resist. To love your destroyer is to be lost.
My destroyer?
Dr. Waltman, what are you saying?
I do not know how you will believe me, but you must. Your daughter is...
Lauriston! Lauriston!
My God, that's...
Forgive my haste, old friend, but I have no time for niceties. I have ridden through the night, lest she escape me and... You're not alone.
Spielsdorf, we did not expect you so suddenly.
I have not one moment to lose.
May I present Dr. Wallman, General Spielsdorf?
General.
Herr Doctor.
My daughter, Margaret.
Welcome, sir.
My dear Fräulein. My child, you are ill.
Well enough to be thankful you are here at last, General.
Oh,
you're not wrong.
She is so like my Elizabeth, even to her pallor. God send her a better deliverance.
We were all so grieved to hear.
I will grieve for my daughter, Fräulein. Oh, I will grieve when I have first had vengeance on the devil who killed her.
Killed her?
As surely as a dagger to the heart. Listen, and you will hear how my blindness, my folly, brought my darling to the grave. You too, Doctor, hear me. Hear how little your science knows of things that walk the night.
I am listening.
So, early this summer, my dear Elizabeth and I attended a magnificent celebration at a neighbor's castle. A masked ball. Oh, masked indeed. Oh, yes, it was. When the fireworks were ended and the dancing began, I realized that a young lady and her chaperone, masked and richly dressed, had been following my daughter with extraordinary interest. Suddenly, the older woman was beside me.
General Spielsdorf, I believe.
You have the advantage of me, madame.
Do you not know who I am?
If madame would remove her mask.
No, I must not. Though we are older and better friends than perhaps you suspect, Friedrich.
Madame, you embarrass me. If you would but say...
Soon, Friedrich, soon you will know everything, but for a brief time I must implore your aid as an old friend, whose honor will ask no more.
Why, how may I... I know not what to say, madame.
I have, this moment, received news that reached me like a thunderbolt. I must leave at once on a journey of life and death, in which to lose an hour is to lose all. My poor ward, there, cannot come with me. She is still delicate from an accident. I plead with you. I beg you, take my poor Mircalla under your protection. I know she will be safe for the brief month I shall be absent. Oh, consent and save a desperate woman.
Madame, with the best will in the world, how can I... I do not know your ward at all.
She is Mircalla, Countess of Karnstein, a name to honor any house. Oh, look. Friedrich, see how she and your daughter are friends already. Look, Mircalla takes her hand, and your daughter looks radiant.
I turned to look, and it was true. My daughter was entranced by her new companion. I turned back, and amid the swirling dancers, my masked interrogator was gone. The next moment, my darling daughter came to me, innocent as a fawn, pleading with me to invite Mircalla home. I weakened. I did.
Karnstein. There is a ruined chapel of the Karnsteins here in the forest. But the last member of the family died 200 years ago.
No, she was only buried.
Spielsdorf, what are you saying?
Herr Loriston, I think he is saying what I was trying to tell you just now. You claim, General, that your daughter was murdered?
Within 3 weeks, my Elizabeth sank and died. Every morning she was paler, weaker, and more bloodless. She suffocated, slowly, and whispered of terrible dreams. Mircalla was always by her side, so loving.
And on her breast, or perhaps her throat, 2 tiny scars like the scratches of a pin?
You? No. You believe?
Your friends, General. Your friends believe now, too. Don't you, Herr Loriston?
Mircalla? Carmilla.
General, we have a house guest named Carmilla. She was left behind with us by an unknown lady on a desperate journey. General! Look at my daughter.
God in heaven. Her mark. She is here. The devil I hunt is here. Where? Show me. Where is she?
At this hour she keeps to her room. Carmilla rises late.
General, do you have what we will need?
It is with me always since...
Frederick, I will go with you.
No, David, no. I will go alone.
But I...
It must be my hand, David. Your daughter is still alive.
Perhaps Carmilla saw the general arrive. Perhaps some instinct of her kind had warned her. But General Spielsdorf found an empty room, cold as though it had never been inhabited. Of course, it never really had. On moonlit nights, I walk where we walked together.
Margaret.
God forgive me. I miss her. And I almost smile in my mirror to see that the scars do not heal.
Good evening, dear listeners. I am Barnabas Collins. Please allow me to introduce the next haunting episode of Dark Shadows.
I'm very anxious to see the house.
So am I. But I must say that when Vicky and I decided to drive out there today, we didn't expect it to take on the aspects of a guided tour.
I do love the old houses around here.
You don't, do you?
No, not usually. I wish Vicky would hurry. Your impatience surprises me, Mr. Devlin. A man should be willing to wait for a beautiful woman through all eternity, if necessary. She's had more than enough time to change into a warm dress. I suppose that's the difference between modern men and what? And the kind of men that once lived in these parts, they had a romanticism, a respect for their women that modern men could never feel.
They were as charming as candlelight, weren't they?
You might say that.
Well, I still prefer electricity and heat. And I still wish Vicky would hurry.
You know, your impatience surprises me for many reasons. I would have thought that a man like you, one who has traveled as much as you have...
What makes you think I've traveled?
I merely assume that you have. You're not the sort of person that one usually finds around here. You seem so much more complex. Your tastes are so much more developed. Your viewpoints are different. You have traveled, haven't you?
Yes. Yes, I have traveled. Why do you ask? It's really none of your concern.
Well, none of my concern, of course, but it is interesting to me. After all, you did grow up here. You made your way up in the world, and yet no one seems to know where you had to go or what you had to do to achieve that rise. In point of fact, Mr. Devlin, no one seems to know very much about you. No one at all.
That's how I like it. And that's how I intend to keep it. They say that a dead man's eyes see everything he's looked at in life. I'd like very much to see through your eyes, Mr. Devlin, and see what it is that you've looked at. I have a feeling that it would be very informative.
What about your eyes, Mr. Collins?
Why do you question that? Well, because nobody knows very much about you either. That's absurd. After all, I am Barnabas Collins. And the Collins family has been in Collinsport from the beginning. Everyone knows all there is to know about them. I'm certain that there are no unanswered questions about the name of Collins.
Oh, but I wasn't talking about the Collins family. I was talking about you. It seems strange that you should be so involved with the Collins family.
Why?
Well, because you didn't grow up with them. You didn't even meet them until a short time ago.
But I've always been very fascinated by the family history. I've read a good deal of it.
Back in England? You had a family history back in England?
Why, yes, of course.
What part of England, Mr. Collins?
Do you know England personally, Mr. Devlin? Have you traveled there? Is that one of the places that will be engraved on your eyes when you're dead?
You know, it's interesting. You must not have known any people there. You never speak of friends in England.
I do not mention friends in England because the simple reason is I have no friends in England.
Oh, I see. You spent the greater part of your life there, but you never met one single living soul, is that it?
Of course not.
Oh, you did meet people, but you don't remember one single name.
Please, Mr. Devlin, I lived with my cousin on the outskirts of London. I chose to live a very solitary life, and that's precisely what I did.
I trust you remember your cousin's name.
Yes, of course.
What was it?
I beg your pardon?
Your cousin. What was his name?
Oh, Bradford. Niall Bradford.
Well, good. I was beginning to believe that your whole past had become a total and perhaps convenient blank.
You mean like yours, Mr. Devlin?
Yes. Yes, like mine. But you're the one who's so preoccupied with the past. One would think that you wouldn't mind speaking about your own, at least occasionally.
I shall, when the convenient moment arises, believe me.
I'm all ready.
Good. Let's go. You look lovely, my dear. And I might add, well worth waiting for.
Shadows is a Dan Curtis production.
There is a terrible secret at Collinwood. It is the secret of one who must forever walk the night, of one who has already struck terror into the heart and mind of an innocent girl. But there are barriers that have kept the secret from being known. Barriers that have kept the girl from revealing the evil that threatens many others.
anybody to help me. I just want to go home. Somebody. I just need somebody. I want to go home.
Maggie?
Who is it?
It's me, Sarah.
Sarah!
It's your very best friend.
You're really here.
Of course I am. I'm sorry I took so long. But I didn't know where to find you. I just kept looking. I just kept listening so very hard. And I began to hear you. And I found you at last. And I'll help you go home.
Sarah. Oh. Go home.
Yes, of course. I was lonely without you, even though I made another friend. His name was David.
David?
Yes. He was a very strange boy, though. He said you were dead, but I knew you weren't, and I was right. And you were just lost.
Sarah, how will you help me go home?
I can do it.
How? The doors are locked and the window is barred.
Every door is locked and every door has a key to it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, where's the key to this one?
Miss Jackson, the nurse outside, has it. She keeps it on a ring. And the ring is on a chain. And the chain is on a belt.
The key is on a ring. The ring is on a chain. And the chain is on a belt. And that's how Maggie's going home.
I don't understand.
I do. I'll show you how to go home.
How?
You have to promise me something.
What is it?
That you'll do just what I tell you. Promise?
All right, Sarah. I'm not even sure I want to go home.
Of course you do. You said you did.
Those bars keep me locked in. They also keep other things locked out. Things that I'm afraid of.
I told you, don't be frightened. I'll take care of you. And I'll show you how to go home.
All right, Sarah. All right.
Oh, wait a minute. Go ahead, call her.
Miss Jackson?
Louder, come on, louder.
Miss Jackson? Miss Jackson? Miss Jackson? Miss Jackson?
Long the bridge is falling down.
Going
falling
on.
Down.
Who are you?
Falling down.
I asked you who you are. And what are you doing in here?
Down.
Where's Maggie Evans?
Where are you? Oh, hey, the kids.
Maggie! Maggie! Maggie!
Oh, you've helped her escape. Just wait till I tell the...
Thank you.
congratulate you on your good taste, Vicky. It's a most beautiful old house.
Thanks to the moon for providing such a lovely view of it.
Shall we go inside?
Yes.
Oh, by the way, I haven't seen that no trespassing sign you were talking about. Well, it's right over there, beyond that stone fence. You must have the eyes of a cat, Mr. Collins, to be able to see that well in the dark. I can't even see the stone fence. It's a matter of conditioning, Mr. Devlin. A matter of conditioning. Well, shall we go?
To bring these candles, we wouldn't have been able to see anything. The whole trip would have been a waste. So beautiful. Oh, Bert, I want to go all over the house, up to the attic, everywhere.
I don't think that's a very good idea.
Why not?
Well, because in an old place like this, the plaster could come down, or the floorboards could fall through. You can't tell where the danger might be, especially by candlelight. Your caution is admirable, Mr. Devlin, but the house seems in excellent repair.
Yes, I think that Barnabas is right.
I don't know. Candlelight can be very deceptive. We'd better take another look at it in the daylight.
Well, maybe we could drive back tomorrow.
Maybe.
You'll join us, won't you?
Well, at the risk of disagreeing with Mr. Devlin, I happen to think that we're looking at the house in exactly the right way. By moonlight and candlelight. In its most festive moments, it was lighted by candles. Perhaps for a party or for an evening musicale. One can almost hear the musicians play.
Whoever put this place together sure know how to build a house.
Well, you think it was built yesterday. Well, perhaps the past isn't so far behind us as we sometimes think.
Well, whoever it was, they did a very good job. You found yourself quite a place here, Vicky. Oh. And here's the famous view of the sea, where you saw the three-masted schooner carrying the master of the house and his bride from Barbados.
Please.
What's the matter?
Don't tease me about it.
After the way you put me on about it?
Well, it's one thing to talk about it up at Collinwood. And quite another to talk about it here. Here, it doesn't seem like a story. It seems real. I want to know all about the people who built this house and lived here.
Sometimes that isn't always a good idea.
Well, I don't care. I have to. Brooks, you said that this house was solid. Let's go up to the attic and see if we can't find out something about them.
Well, now, I don't think that's a very good idea. Oh, I can't bear to see you disappointed, Vicky. I have a suggestion to make. I'm more accustomed to candlelight than most people. All right, what do you plan to do? Well, I suggest that I go up and see what I can find. I'm not so dependent on the sort of artificial light that most people need in order to see. Perhaps I'll find you something from the past.
Would you? Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Hey, let's forget about presents from the past, shall we? And think about the future of this house. I have a feeling it could be a very rosy future. If we let it.
Sarah, prayed outside here. I can't help it. I just am.
Don't be afraid. I'll take care of you. And I'll take you home.
Sarah, you're not going to leave me alone, are you?
Oh, no, I'd never do that.
You know, sir, there's something that I don't understand.
What is it?
Well, in the hospital room, there were bars on the windows and the door was locked. Now, how did you get in?
Do you really want to know?
Yes, I do.
The same way I got out.
All right. But when I left the room, I locked you in with the nurse. Now, how did you get out?
Same way I got in.
Oh, Sarah. You're a funny little girl.
I never heard you laugh before. You should do it all the time. You have a nice laugh.
Sarah, thank you. Thank you for helping me get home.
Why don't we sing as we walk down the road? It might make the time go faster.
All right.
Come on.
Okay.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down, my fair lady.
I think we ought to start heading back to Collingwood.
Already?
Already? We've been here over an hour. So come on, gather up your eager chum. Barnabas must be on our way.
All right. I'll call him. Barnabas? Barnabas? Wonder where he could have disappeared to.
Who knows? I told him it wasn't a very good idea to go upstairs. He probably locked himself in a secret room.
Oh, do you think there really are secret rooms up there?
I don't care. I just wish he'd get back here.
I thought you said you liked this house.
Well, I do like it. As a potential place to live in someday, I don't like it at the moment. Ooh, you were right. The chilliest house I've ever been in.
Probably has something to do with the wind coming up from the water.
Maybe so. Well, I can fix that with central heating.
Oh, no. It would be a shame to change this house in any way.
Why?
Well, I don't think that the people who built it or lived here would like it.
Vicky, the people who lived here are long gone.
I think Barnabas likes this house more than you do.
Well, the trouble is, he likes all the wrong things about it. The darkness and the shadows, the chill. I bet he's just crazy about the chill.
Oh, don't get so annoyed.
I'm not annoyed. I just want to get out of here, and I resent having to wait for him to go.
I think this house makes you nervous.
It does not make me nervous. I feel fine about it. You know what I think? I think we ought to leave Barnabas here and let him hitch a ride back to Collingwood.
We couldn't do that.
Oh, why not?
Burke, that would be a terrible thing to do. Here he comes.
I'm terribly sorry to keep you waiting, but the upstairs is every bit as attractive as the main floor. I wish you could have seen it with me.
Well, perhaps I can see it tomorrow. Burke is very anxious to get back.
Ah, yes. Mr. Devlin is a man who has very little patience with the past.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Oh, Vicky, I have a present for you.
Present? What is it?
It's a lady's handkerchief and embroidered in by hand.
Where did you find it?
In a little isolated room upstairs.
It's got a monogram. F. Nick A. C. Beautifully done. I wonder who it belonged to. Thank you, Barnabas. But do you think it was all right to take it?
Of course I do. Whoever it was, or wherever she might be, I'm sure she'd want you to have it.
Can I get you something?
Scotch and water, please.
Devlin, I'll have a bourbon. Dreaming about the house and its ghosts?
Well, I'm dreaming about the house. No ghosts. Thank you for coming here with me.
My pleasure.
You know, seeing you walking around there and tapping on beams and checking for loose floorboards, it made the house seem very comfortable and very safe.
Well, the house could be very comfortable and safe.
You don't think it's too isolated, too far away from the outside world?
Well, if it were mine, anything I wanted would be on the inside. And besides, in this day of jet travel, you could be in Collinsport in no time at all.
You know, it's amazing that two people could be as different as you and Barnabas Collins.
Well, now that I take as a compliment.
There's nothing wrong with Barnabas.
Oh, no?
I think his preoccupation with the past is touching.
Touching?
Well, I happen to be fascinated with the past, too, Burke.
You just say you're fascinated with the past, but you're really not. As soon as the present and the future look sufficiently enticing to you, you forget all about the past.
I will.
Oh, I know you will. And I'm going to do everything I can to make the future absolutely enthralling for you. Not a moment to spare for the past.
Oh, yes. What? One moment. To wonder who F. McA. C. was and what happened in her life.
Okay, moment's up. Now onward and upward. Vicky, may I say again, you're a young woman with extraordinary taste. I found the house absolutely enchanting.
Shall I tell you a secret?
Well, what is it?
That is the only house I've ever been in that I think I could be quite happy in for the rest of my life.
Well, now, maybe we can do something about that. Let's drink to it, shall we? What is it?
It's Maggie Evans. It's Maggie Evans.
No.
Dark Shadows is a Dan Curtis production.
We have mourned and wept for those who have passed on. Our tears have dried, but our hearts are scarred indelibly. Life continues, although our memory serves to freshen the wound. We are, therefore, vulnerable to the great shock that a sudden return can bring.
What is it?
It's Maggie Evans. It's Maggie Evans.
Aside from being a little pale, she seems fine.
I don't understand. How can this be?
I'm afraid a terrible hoax has been perpetrated on all of us. Why do you say hoax? It might have been a case of mistaken identity.
That's impossible. Maggie was alive when they found her. They said she died later. She's coming around now.
No. No.
Maggie, you're all right. You're safe now.
Who are you?
I'm Vicky. Don't you recognize me?
Think I do? I think I know you.
Of course you do. I'm Vicky Winters. I'm your friend.
Vicky. Vicky, I know that name. Where am I?
You're in the Blue Whale.
Place. Been here before.
Many times.
Where is she? Where is she?
Who are you talking about?
The little girl. She brought me here. She was with me.
A little girl?
Yes, she was outside. Please find her. I need her.
I'll take a look. No, you stay here. I'll go outside and find her.
You're safe now, Maggie. Nobody can hurt you.
Yes. Safe.
Where were you?
Far away. Somewhere in a place like a hospital. There were doctors there.
What hospital? Where?
I don't know. I don't know. There's so many things going through my mind.
Well, how did you get here?
The girl. She brought me here. She took me away from that place and brought me here. I belong here.
Yes, Maggie, you do belong here.
Did you find her? There's no one outside.
She's not there?
I'm sorry, but there's no one there at all.
She's always disappearing. I never know when she's going to come back.
Who is she, Maggie?
Friend. My very best friend. She's helped me before when I've been in trouble.
What kind of trouble?
I don't know. No. So much in my mind.
Where were you before the hospital?
I don't know. Away. It was far away. Something about a room. special room.
I think her father ought to be contacted right away. I don't know where Sam is. Any other night, he'd be here.
Father? I have a father. Where is he?
We'll find him for you. You'll see him soon.
I can almost see him now. I can almost see him.
We ought to get her to Dr. Woodard's office right away.
Yes, I think you ought to take her to... I will go and tell her father, Mr. Evans, and tell him the good news. And then I'll bring him over to Dr. Woodard's office. Thank you.
I know that face from somewhere.
Of course you do. You know all of us.
Come on, Maggie. We're taking you to the doctor. And then you're going home.
Yes. I want to go home. Terrible happened. I can almost remember it.
Here you are, Maggie. Now, you wash it down with this. Now, you'll soon feel better.
Oh, thank you.
Maggie, do you recognize me at all?
Vaguely. I know I've seen you somewhere before.
Oh, good. That's something.
What's the matter with me?
Well, you've... suffered a temporary loss of memory, that's all. Otherwise, physically, you seem to be in very good condition.
What is it about my memory? Will I ever be able to remember?
Oh, on the contrary, Maggie. I really think that your memory's coming back very well now. Now, look, you recognized me. You recognized Vicky and Bert.
Yes, that's true.
And you even began to remember things about your father. Those are all good signs, you know. I think you're definitely improving.
There's so many things that I'm starting to remember.
Good, good, very good. Oh, pretty soon everything will come back to you.
Doctor, can I talk to you a moment?
Sure, Burke. Vicky, will you stay with Maggie, huh?
Of course.
Now, Maggie, meantime, you keep right on talking with Vicky. I have a feeling it's important that you say anything and everything that comes into your mind. All right? Okay.
What is it? You knew about this all along.
Yes?
Well, why didn't you tell us?
I couldn't.
You know you could trust me and Vicky. Does Sam know?
Yes, he knows, and Joe knows, too.
Well, they certainly put on a great act.
Look, Bert, they had to. Now, will you be reasonable? We knew that this kidnapper was out after Maggie. And we also knew he tried to kill her once. He would try again if he realized that she was anywhere where he might get to her. Listen to me, Burke. When we found her, there was a great deal more wrong with her than just amnesia. She'd regressed. She'd become a child again. What you're seeing this evening represents a tremendous step forward for Maggie.
Well, I'm glad of that, of course. What's to happen now? By now, the whole town knows she's back. And if they know, surely the kidnapper must know, too.
Well, I'm aware of that, but what I'm hoping is this, that she'll remember who the kidnapper is before he has a chance to get to her.
Why should I be so afraid?
Anybody would be, Maggie, if they couldn't remember.
I'm starting to remember. I know I am. All kinds of things in my mind. Shapes and forms and... They just seem so much more clear. Well, that's good. That's very good. You know, I'm starting to remember you. I know you very well, don't I, Vicky?
Yes, you do. And that's why you mustn't be afraid. Because you're with people who love you and who want to protect you.
Why do I have to be protected? What happened to me?
We don't know that yet.
But who are you protecting me from?
That's something that only you can tell us.
I'm trying to answer. I'm trying. I seem to remember something about a room.
special room. A special room? Yes. I can't see it very clearly, but there was a scent in that room. Scent? Yes. And a special kind of music. A special kind of music.
What are you doing here?
I must speak to you right away. Is anyone here?
Upstairs, I think.
Come inside, then.
What is it?
You have betrayed me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Maggie Evans has appeared.
Maggie Evans?
Yes, she's here in Collinsport. She's now with Dr. Woodard and all her friends. Somehow, she's gotten out of that place. That safe place that you've hidden her in.
Has her memory come back?
Not all of it. Not yet. But it seems to be coming back.
Did she see you?
Yes.
What happened?
There was a glimmer of recognition. You told me that you represented security to me. I can see now that you represent nothing but lies. I cannot trust you.
I haven't lied to you. You can trust me to take care of Maggie Evans.
It's probably too late for that now. I may have to take care of Maggie Evans myself.
Oh, don't you dare. You'll ruin everything I've worked so hard for all these years. Please. Please, don't do anything.
And you will go first.
Hello? Yes, speaking. Yes, Dr. Woodard. Oh? Is that so? Tell me, Doctor, has the patient said anything? I see. That's all, just mumblings and fragments. Nothing specific about what happened to her? I see. All right, I'll be down in a minute. But here's what you must do. No one must question her. Not even you, I'm sorry to say. And I want everyone cleared out of your office. I don't want anyone to see me come in or go out. Thank you. Goodbye. You've nothing to fear. Everything is under control.
How can you consider this under control?
Because I'm going down there. And when I finish with Maggie Evans, there won't be the slightest possibility of her ever remembering anything.
Why do I have to stay here?
Because Dr. Hoffman is going to be here in a minute or two.
Dr. Hoffman?
Yes.
I know Dr. Hoffman.
Now listen, Maggie. She specifically said that she wants you to stay as quiet as possible until she gets here.
She wants me to stay quiet? Strange, because she's always trying to get me to talk about everything.
Well, Maggie, all of that is changed now. You see, you've reached an advanced stage in your recuperation, so the treatment is different.
There's so much that I want to say.
I'm sure of that, but please, wait till Dr. Hoffman gets here.
Such a strange person. I don't understand her at all.
Well, I'm not sure I understand her completely myself, but let's just go on hoping that the end of the treatment justifies the means. That's what really counts.
You know, sometimes I'm almost afraid of her. So many things that I'm starting to remember. My father. His name is Sam Evans.
Sam Evans.
That's right, Maggie.
You know, I'm just trying to remember the house that I live in. It's near the water, and there's a big bay window. My father paints by that window. The north light comes in.
Maggie, please, just take it easy.
I'm starting to remember everything. Everything's going to come back.
Maggie, you've got to relax now.
There's more. I'm starting to remember it. Another house. An old house. I can see myself in that house. I'm being held there like a prisoner. Very special room.
Maggie, you've got to take this.
People in there. People that hate me. Someone who hates me.
Please, Maggie.
Who doesn't want me to live.
Take this, please.
Who wants me to die. Wants me to die. Man. Man. Coming closer. Can't make out his face, but he's coming closer. His eyes. Burning eyes. His face. I know that face now. I know it. I know it.
Maggie, don't say another word. Do you understand? Not another word.
Dr. Hoffman, I'm remembering everything. Everything.
That's wonderful. Wonderful news.
She was just on the point of identifying the man that held her prisoner, Julia.
That's tremendous progress. Excellent. I thought I asked you not to question her.
I didn't. It just seemed to come bursting out of her.
Dr. Hoffman, I've got to talk. I want to say everything that comes to my mind. Just get it out in the open.
Look, I tried to calm her down, tried to relax her, but she wouldn't take the pills I offered her.
Dr. Hoffman, I want to say everything. I'm just remembering everything, and then I'll be all right.
Of course you will, Maggie. You'll say everything, and you will be all right. I think this is the day we've worked for and waited for. We must be very careful and not ruin it. What you must remember in proper order, or else you could go back and be the way you were when you were found.
That again? Not again.
It could happen, Maggie. It could happen. And that's why you must listen to me very carefully and do exactly as I tell you.
Will. I promise I will.
Good. Then we'll begin immediately. If you don't mind, Dr. Woodard.
Well, why should I leave? I mean, is there some reason I can't be here? I certainly can be of some help.
Yes, there is a reason. Maggie is my patient, and I think your presence here would be inhibiting to her and to me. Oh, Dave, we've come this far. Don't let anything interfere now.
All right, Julia, I understand. She's your patient, and it's your privilege to treat her as you desire. I'll be right outside.
And I don't want to be interrupted for any reason at all. Now, Maggie, I'd like to know what it is you really actually remember.
Remember everything. Everything's come back. Horrible. I remember a cemetery. I remember being put in a coffin and locked in a room.
Now, who was it that held you prisoner?
It was Barnabas Collins.
Are you quite sure?
I'm positive. I remember everything he did. It was horrible. It was almost beyond belief. He's some kind of a creature from the world of the dead. Not alive. Do you believe me?
I believe everything you say. Now we must bring you back to normalcy and to the good life you had before this happened.
Yes.
The first thing we must do is stabilize your memory. That's right. Keep looking at it. And listen to my voice. Don't listen to anything else, because in my voice you'll find everything you've been seeking. Everything.
Oh.
see the change in her.
Yes, certainly. Maggie. Maggie, how are you?
Dr. Woodard, I'm fine. Apparently there was something wrong with my memory, but everything's all right now. I remember everything. Everything about my whole life. About my family, my job, about the whole town, everyone in it.
Oh, Maggie, that's wonderful. It's wonderful. What was it that happened to you?
Happened to me?
Well, where were you during the time you were gone?
What do you mean?
Well, the time you were gone.
Well, I don't know how I got to your office, but I remember that I went to bed in my room. And I wasn't feeling very well, and suddenly I was here in your office with Dr. Hoffman. So if you can tell me everything that happened in between, then I'm sure I'll be all right.
Have a good evening, and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwick from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian Serafic Panopoli and Stevie Farnaby.